Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Listening to CBS News at the top of the hour. And the number two story was about the pharmaceutical robbery that took place, I think it was almost a year ago, at Eli Lilly. You know how many times in my life I've driven past that facility? It's on the cutover road from my mother's house to the mall.
From the mall?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, the way that my town's set up, there are all these neighborhoods and so forth. And then a couple miles away, there's a lot of shopping in my town. Interstate 91 runs through my hometown. There's a lot of shopping up there. Two malls, and other shopping centers up there. In between, this goes back to the 70s, they decided they were going to build an industrial park and also a golf course. The golf course was never built, but all the street names are named after golf. And Eli Lilly, in fact, with Peter King of Sports Illustrated, he grew up on South Road. All right? Peter and I played on the same Little League team. And Peter grew up on South Road, and this Eli Lilly facility is at the corner of South Road. And I think it's Niblick Road or something like that. It's right there at the corner. Well, you go on that cut across, there isn't a lot of industry in the industrial park, okay? But this is one of them. There's no fence around it. There's no fence. So when I heard they broke in, I thought, well, it was easy to get to.
Let's see. Notable residents. Johnny April from the band Stained.
No. Don't know.
Let's see. Peter King, which you discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Robeson, let's see.
Paul Robeson. Yeah. Paul Robeson.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, from the, like, you know, Robeson.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Last Good Night. Now that I've heard of them.
The guy that played Taggart in Beverly Hills Cop?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of them.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He's an NFL high grad.
I don't see them on the list.
He's an NFL high grad.
Ah. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay.
And Michael Burke, who at one point was the chief operating officer of the Yankees before George Steinbrenner, an NFL guy.
Yeah, I didn't see that one on the list either. But John Ashton's on the list, too.
Yeah, John Ashton played Taggart in...
No, that wasn't. What? That wasn't Taggart.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, in Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, no. Okay, sorry. I was thinking
Rosewood.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, I don't know which is worse, the fact that I was thinking the wrong person or the fact that you knew who I was thinking about. Yes.
You're thinking of Judge Reinhold.
No. I was actually thinking of, what was it? Well, hang on, it'll come to me. Police Academy?
Steve Guttenberg?
No, not Steve Guttenberg. The guy with the that always liked to play with the guns. Tackleberry. That's who was popping into my head.
All right, let's get back to the email you sent. This isn't going very well.
I'm digging the hole deeper, please. Yeah, get me out of here.
I'm trying to survive to get to Friday now so we can get Girardi on and talk about horse racing, and that way we can get you mentally engaged back in sports again. Northwestern homecoming game is a noon kickoff now, so that's three kickoffs that are now set.
Donovan Jack has signed his letter of intent to play basketball at Penn State. 6'9", he's out of Reading. He's put a little more weight on, a little more muscle, but this guy is going to be a pretty good basketball player for Penn State. He actually had signed with Duquesne, but when Ron Everhart was fired, Jim Ferry came in. He said, look, he said, if anybody wants to be released, they can be released. He decided to be released. He was re-recruited. Penn State was able to get him. He signed today. Akosa Matabamin from Boston, who's a 6'3 guard who had verbaled last July, finally signed his letter of intent. And he's in, and Brandon Taylor, who was in the early signing period, has also signed, a DJ Newbill transferred in a year ago, and he'll be eligible this season. So all these guys will play this season. They have one more to give out. And they may find out tonight at 8 o'clock, one way or another, who that other guy is. Or isn't. So there you go. That's our Penn State news for the day here. Getting you up to date on football scheduling and times, and getting you up to date on basketball recruits. So all good news there. Caravan, I think they're off that today. They'll go back on the caravan until next week. I know Bill's here on Monday, and I am joining him in Scranton on Thursday. You're not going Thursday, are you?
No.
Okay, because it's at an undisclosed location. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Didn't you have a great time last night?
I did. I had a great time last night.
Did you find it to be a learning experience?
Actually, I did.
Wonderful.
I learned that most of the time I have no clue what's going on.
Okay.
At least I admit it. David Graff, by the way, was the guy I was trying to think of from Police Academy. He was the guy I was getting confused.
Okay. That's a big plus. All right. People, I think, feel like they learned more from the show today based on that. Now, of course, the tragic story is about... Let's go away from the tragic story for a moment. The other Penn State football knows a lot of people are making a big deal out of Kyle Bobolets, possibly playing some defensive tackle. He played both defensive end and defensive tackle all spring. This is not a new and stunning revelation. Some people are making it out to be a new and stunning revelation, but it is not. In fact, he even played a little bit of defensive tackle in the Blue White game. You know, he also played defensive end. So he was doing that all spring anyway. This is not going to be an experiment that they're going to give it a shot in the preseason and see if he can play both. They've already done the experimental part, and they like what they saw of him. That allows him, by being a two-position player like that, that gives them eight guys up front that they can now use, which is what they want. They wanted to have somebody that would complement James Terry inside. And with Deion Barnes on the outside, and C.J. Alanian on the outside, as backups to Stanley and Massaro, the ability of Bobolets to move and play both defensive end and defensive tackle allows you the possibility, if you want to go all twos, to have Alanian, Barnes, Terry, and Bobolets all out there at the same time. It gives them their best eight players in that spot that can play. So that's what they're going to do with that. But the Bobolets deal is not a preseason experiment. They've already done this. This was being done throughout the spring. They took a long look at Kyle at both spots. And so, especially with Hale's situation where Evan Hales can't play, they needed to have somebody that could possibly play some defensive tackle for them, because Hales will not be playing. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. That is our number. And once again, the Kevin email that is sent that ends up in my junk mail every day, for some reason.
I have no idea why.
He's worried about Doc Holliday packing a suitcase and going home for a family problem.
No, I wouldn't say worried.
Well, I wouldn't hit the panic button yet. I mean, it's, you know, if he was accompanied by somebody, like, say, the trainer, I'd get more worried.
Well, wasn't it Oswald a few years ago that had that his family was involved in one of the many tornadoes?
Yes.
And he left for quite some time. And I don't know that he ever really came back as a pitcher from that.
No, it wasn't really the same.
And I think that is what has me a little bit concerned.
I wouldn't panic just yet. Now, if it becomes more of an issue, we'll talk about it. But I think for us to wonder, we can openly wonder, but
it's all speculation, yeah.
Right. Now, let's get to the FBS championship. Should it be league champs or go by the polls? And that should be our poll question today.
Okay.
Now, if it were league champions last year, both Stanford and Alabama would have been ineligible to play in the BCS. They weren't league champions. Stanford did not win the Pac-12. Oregon did. Oregon beat UCLA in the Pac-12 championship game. Stanford did not win its division. Alabama did not win its division, did not win the SEC, but they won the national championship. Now, Oklahoma State would have made it. And LSU would have made it. I mean, they would have made it. Now the question is, based on last year's BCS, for example, who would have been the other teams? Say they had gone with conference champions open. Now, the SEC wants to keep it open. Okay? They want to keep it open. But others are saying, no, they shouldn't be kept open. Now, if you base this on the BCS standings, okay, BCS standings, okay, Oklahoma State makes it, right? And LSU makes it. Who else from last year makes it? Well, Arkansas can't make it, even though they're not one of the four teams. And next would have been Oregon at number five. They're the Pac-12 champ. They would have made the Final Four. Guess which team is next? Based on the BCS standings, that is a conference champion. Boise State. How about that one? That's interesting, isn't it? So should it be conference champions only, or should it just be the four best teams? Hey, that's what we're asking today. Just conference champions or the four best teams. Now, the SEC wants it to be the four best teams because obviously they know that they have a decent shot every once in a while of having an LSU Alabama situation. So they know that. And so they don't want, that's one of the holding points right now. So when you look at that, I mean, that's how different it would have been. Two of them wouldn't have made it. I mean, that's the irony of the whole thing. is that of the Final Four last year, which I think everybody felt pretty comfortable that if you're picking a Final Four in college football, those four teams probably would have been among those that would make it. I think everyone felt pretty decent that those would have been the four teams. And if you use the system of just conference champions, two of them don't make it. Amazing, isn't it? Our number one, what would you like to see? Our number 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back with more in a moment on the Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Where did you get this gun?
My mom gave it to me.
Oh, can I borrow it for a little while?
Sure.
See, that's what was running through my head the whole time. Tackleberry from Police Academy. My mom gave it to me.
She did, huh?
It's a great line from that movie, though.
Sure it is, yeah.
You're speechless.
Now, if you go, no, I'm analyzing something. I'm not even listening to you.
There's something new.
All right, you take last year. Now, say it can only be conference champions in the Final Four. Okay, final BCS standings. LSU makes it. So check, right?
Sure.
There's one. Number two is Alabama. No. Not a divisional champ, not a conference champ. They don't make it. Three, Oklahoma State. And they'd be the number two seed. Four, Stanford. No. Not a conference champion. Five, Oregon. Okay? Conference champion. They make it. Six is Arkansas. Not a conference champion. Seven is Boise State. Not a conference champion. TCU won their conference. Eight is Kansas State. Not a conference champion. Nine is South Carolina. Lost the conference championship game to LSU, so not a conference champion. 10 is Wisconsin. They're in. That's who it would be. If they had used only conference champions, if that was a criterion for moving forward, LSU at 1, 3 Oklahoma State, 5 Oregon, and 10 Wisconsin would have been the four teams. How about that?
You know, you were saying that last night, and that's the first time I really thought about it. I just thought about, you know, the top four in the BCS. But here's the only problem with that. The BCS is always disputed anyway. So have you really resolved anything by just picking the four top BCS teams?
Yeah, but you're going with conference champions.
No, I know, and that was going to be
If you're going with conference champions... Okay, those are in the top 10, those are the only four conference champions in the top 10. Virginia Tech's 11. Let's see, Baylor, no. Michigan, no. Oklahoma, no. They're beaten by Oklahoma State. Clemson, no. Georgia, no. Michigan State, no. TCU is a conference champion.
No, you're absolutely right. And I didn't even – that was the way I was going to go because I figured, you know, when we originally talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the BCS is always disputed anyway. So right. Why not go with conference champions? But when you look right. at it that way, that doesn't work either.
TCU at 18, yes. Houston, no. Nebraska, 20th, no. Southern Mississippi, yes. They won Conference USA at 21. Penn State at 22, no. West Virginia, yes, at 23, but it's the Big East and it doesn't count. 24 is Texas, no, and Auburn's 25. So on this list of 25 teams, the only ones that would be eligible would be LSU, Oklahoma State, Oregon, Wisconsin, TCU, Southern Mississippi, and West Virginia. Among the top 25 teams. That's all you have left. Now, after conference championship games, those are like playoff games. Okay? Those are like playoff games. So, essentially, you had all those conference champions playing their championship games. That was like an elimination round as to who would get to the semifinals in some ways. But your final four teams into that would probably be LSU, Oklahoma State, Oregon, and Wisconsin. Sarah Bartlett is next with WKOK News. Love to get your feedback at 1-800-795-9565.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Let's update the scoreboard for you. There's some finals today and also some games in action. The Phillies today won over Atlanta. They're now back to 500. And Joe Blanton was the story. As the Phillies beat the Braves in Atlanta today, 4-0. Hunter Pence hit a sacrifice fly in the first inning to knock in Jimmy Rollins. In the seventh, Lance Nix hit his second homer of the season to make it 2-0. Nix is hitting .342 this year. And Shane Victorino hit a two-run homer in the ninth inning to put it away. Blanton was great. He threw 88 pitches, 67 of them strikes, struck out six, didn't walk a batter, complete game, three-hitter, for him, after the Phillies used every pitcher they had last night, they needed this performance, and he gave it to them.
Especially when you have a loss like last night, going extra innings. They had the lead, a big lead twice. Your ace is on the mound, and he, you know, just has a very, very unusual game. That was a big win today.
And then mysteriously leaves the ballpark. Kevin is investigating.
Sources say he had a suitcase with him.
You know the game's in Atlanta, right?
Right. No, I didn't. Was not necessarily unusual that he would have
a suitcase with him.
but the question is, well, all right. Let me ask you this: it wasn't a suit. It was like a full rolling suitcase. So the question you have to ask is: was that the suitcase that he always takes to the ballpark with all of his stuff in it? I don't think so. I wouldn't think he'd take a suitcase to the ballpark. I would think that he was planning on leaving as soon as he could from the ballpark. That's right. Why I think it's important that the suitcase be talked about.
Okay. Which means he probably knew before the game he'd have
right.
to do this.
Exactly.
Which means?
He was preoccupied on the mound, potentially.
Yes. Which means it's for him, it's not an injury.
Right.
All right. But Joe Blanton was great today. And they needed great after last night, and he delivered great. They're now 13-13. That was a big win for the Phillies today. Gets them back to 500. Big win.
And they are in a stretch right now that they need wins because they're playing division opponents right now. And if
no
you
question.
Want to move up, now's the time to do it.
Also today, Cincinnati beat the Cubs 4-3.
The Pirates lead the Cardinals, trying to salvage the final game of that series, 5-2. Miami just underway, 10-2 at AT&T. They lead San Francisco 2-0. Tonight, Arizona's at Washington. And in the American League, Tampa Bay beat Seattle 4-3. Tonight, it'll be the White Sox at home at Cleveland. The Yankees are at Kansas City. Toronto's at the Angels. Kansas City, not exactly selling a lot of season tickets right now. They're 0-10 at home. How about that one? They're 0-10 at home.
But they have a cool-looking center field.
Oh. You're sitting in Independence, Missouri. You're saying to yourself, I'm not going to that tonight. I'll watch it on TV.
Dollar Dog Night? Nah, wait.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. Dollar Dog Night actually has something to it, my man. Hold on there.
All right, maybe I'll just show up for the first couple innings then.
Now, how about Bryce Harper last night? He was terrific. Nationals had a walk-off win last night over Arizona.
Were there three walk-offs last night?
Yes. So now the Nationals are 15-9 overall. They are 9-3 at home. And they came up with a walk-off win, I think it was, 4-3 last night. Great win.
Bruce Bochy now has some decisions to make. They lost to Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah.
What is it, a broken, what was it called? Hamate? Is that what it is? In the left hand? It's spelled H-A-M-A-T-E. I'd never heard of this before. I was hoping somebody else could tell me where that was.
By the way, on Monday's show, we're going to have a doctor on talking about concussions.
He would be able to tell me where it was, though, I bet.
I'm sure he would. He's the doctor. And Dick Girardi tomorrow in the Kentucky Derby from Churchill Downs. I know you are personally looking forward to that moment.
Got my cheat sheet out, ready to make notes.
Yeah, it's okay. OTB has you on speed dial. All right. Our number 1-800-795-9565. So we've talked about all these topics that you put out today. We put every one of them out there. And then we added in what the Phillies did today. And then we added in some Penn State football news. And we added in some Penn State basketball recruiting news.
And talked about movies. We're well-rounded today.
And also... pharmaceutical robberies.
That's true. We did. We analyzed pharmaceutical robberies. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. My hometown is finally known for something. $80 million in pharmaceuticals going to Canada up I-91. And they took big time stuff too. That warehouse was loaded with big time stuff. And then what they did was they went through the roof and scaled down and disabled the alarm system. It's like James Bond stuff.
I was thinking more like Mission Impossible, but yeah.
Mission Impossible. He scales down there the computer. Our number 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Sponsored today by our great friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. And I want to tell you right now. Met Rick last night. Tremendous, tremendous. All right. So, Phillies, big win today, and Blanton saves them. Saves the bacon. Talked about that. Talked about Penn State football, Penn State basketball, BCS. We've covered a lot today so far. Tomorrow, Kentucky Derby with Dick from Churchill Downs. Let's go to the phone lines at 1-800-795-9565. Roger is next. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Steve and Kevin. I have something I want to throw off for you guys to talk about. We talked a little bit last hour about Roy Halladay leaving the team. And
right.
he told the Phillies on Tuesday, he told Rich Doobie on Tuesday that he was going to be leaving after last night's game. So the Phillies knew before the game he was leaving. And it's being termed family matters. And I guess my question for you, Steve, and you and Kevin can talk about it, is how much do players, how much should they or should they not say, or what are the fans entitled to know? Because it was almost exactly a year ago that Roy Oswalt left right. for family matters after a similar outing. He just wasn't himself. I think he lasted about three innings.
Yeah.
And then we found out later that it was because his family lived very near, I think, a hurricane had hit.
The tornado. We talked last hour about the fact he left because of the tornadoes.
Right. And, you know, and I don't know why you can't just come right out and say that, because that's a good reason to go home and check on the family. I don't really know why you wouldn't just come right out and say that. And
well, okay, you know, Roger, actually, I have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. You are a high-profile athlete, and Roy Oswalt is a high-profile athlete. I think, you know, a lot of sports fans know who he is. He probably wanted the privacy of going to his own home, checking on his family and making sure they were okay instead of having media follow him around as he did it. I think he wanted to take care of it in his own private realm and then tell everybody why he went, because he wanted to make sure they were okay. He also wanted to make sure what kind of destruction he was facing at the time.
Well, the other part of it that was right on the tails of that was then he went on the disabled list shortly thereafter for about 2 months.
Right.
And so it might not have been just Family Matters. Family Matters might have been a big part of it, and
right.
He might have felt in his, whether it was his arm or his shoulder, that, hey, I'm not going to be pitching again anyway anytime soon, so I might as well go do this. And just the whole sequence of Roy Halladay saying on Tuesday, I'm leaving after Wednesday's game, he goes out, he gives up 8 runs for the first time since 2009.
Right.
It just, you know, that, and then he'll be rejoining the team Friday. I don't know if there isn't a lot more to the story.
Well, you bring up good points, but I know, for example, I went through a situation like this with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't tell anybody at the time what I was doing, but for in 2007... I was out Mondays and Tuesdays 5 out of 7 weeks to go to Boston and come back, but then I was there for the games. And for us, it was a private situation, what we wanted to handle, wanted to make sure he was okay before we even talked to anybody about it. And I'm talking about for my own private situation. So I never talked about it until after we knew he was fine and out of the woods. So it could be a variety of anything. And I wasn't available. You know, I wasn't doing talk shows on Mondays and Tuesdays, and I wasn't. You know, I was leaving after the games on Saturdays, driving to Boston, coming back Tuesday night, and then getting myself back into the realm of trying to work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to get ready for the game, do the talk show, do the pregame show, and things like that. So I was in a situation where I was in a family situation where I had to leave 5 out of 7 weeks, and it was actually as simple and as innocent as that, but it was the only way we could handle it at the time. And I was in the middle of a season doing my job, just like he's in the middle of the season doing his job. And
well,
so that's why I want to give – that's why I always give them the benefit of the doubt when they say that, because I've lived through it personally.
Well, I have no doubt that there could be problems. And the thing that struck me last night, I was watching Halladay as he was being taken out of the game, and he's such a fierce competitor that I really expected him to hurl his glove into the dugout, to kick something, or just to grab a cup of Gatorade and throw it down. And he just really calmly sat down, grabbed a towel, and just sort of just really didn't show a lot of emotion, which would make me think that there is something maybe a lot more important than baseball going on.
Yeah, you know, and again, you don't know. And that's why I always give them a little leeway, because there's also, I mean, for the same thing in 2009, you know, for 3.5 weeks, I had a child in Geisinger.
Yeah.
Every day, drove back and forth to Geisinger every day for 3.5 weeks, except for the 2 road games I did. And there was a game with Minnesota that was on a Valentine's Day, for example, where he had a procedure in the morning at Geisinger. When the procedure was over, I went and I arrived at the Jordan Center at 1:05, and Dick did the pregame show for me, and we were on the air at 1:00. And it was the only way we could do it, and everybody completely understood, but we didn't let everybody in on what was going on. So because I've lived it, I'm far more cautious about it than other people, because I've lived it.
Yeah, well, let's hope Roy's okay. Let's hope his family's okay, and let's hope things get back to normal.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're right. That's one thing. In watching him leave last night,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the Phillies are the only team in baseball that has a manager that fears going to the mound to take a pitcher out.
Right.
Because he gives him that, what are you coming out here for, look. He gives him that Bob Gibson stare.
Yep.
There was no Bob Gibson stare last night. You're right. Yep. He just he looked like, okay, I need to mentally shut this down.
Took a seat, grabbed the towel, and that was that.
Yeah, exactly right, Raj. Exactly right.
And Blanton actually went back to the hotel last night in the fourth inning. And, you know, which was probably helped him today because the game was a noon start. So they started today's game less than 12 hours after last night's finished and get a good night's sleep, and that probably worked to his advantage.
And that's a standard procedure in the majors. If you have your starting pitcher that's going to be pitching an afternoon game, you do send them back to the hotel. And that's a standard procedure. So the Phillies did that, and he came out today. He threw 88 pitches, 67 were strikes, gave up 3 hits. He struck out 6, didn't walk a batter. And on a day where they absolutely needed somebody to save their bullpen, Joe Blanton stepped up, saved the day, saved the bullpen, and got him back to 500.
You get Cliff Lee back next week. You have Worley and Blanton throwing well. And you have, you know, Ryan Howard doing, as they call it, baseball activities.
And you're feeling better about it. The one thing I'm not sure about, and maybe somebody can update me on this, where's Chase Utley?
No word on where Chase Utley is. They said that Chase Utley will be following Ryan Howard to Clearwater, but they won't say when. So there's no timetable for when he's going to start doing baseball activities.
Think about this. Say they were both in Clearwater and they play some games together down there. Imagine being the other team. You're sitting there, and that's Ryan Howard and Chase Utley.
I don't know, but ticket sales just went through the roof with that idea.
Yeah.
You know what? But I talked to several of the State College Spikes. Remember when A-Rod was coming back from his injury?
Sure.
He did some work down at Tampa and played in some games at Tampa. And these guys played against him. And you know what struck them about him? Was how big he is. They said you cannot understand until you see how tall and how broad he is. He's like 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? So hopefully Halliday will be fine. I know the Penn State people up here love Halliday because when the Penn State football went down for the Outback Bowl, they worked out at Clearwater. And guess who was working on his own in Clearwater and couldn't have been nicer to Penn State football? Roy Halliday.
Well, let's hope he's back and let's hope things are okay for him.
Hope so, too, because he's one of the great pitchers in the last 10 years. And if the Phillies want a real shot at winning the division, which they still look, they're 13-13. Washington's 15-9. So much baseball to be played. The Phillies actually, despite all this, are actually in pretty good shape, despite everything.
And everybody's got issues. Washington's having a harder time scoring than Philadelphia. And Washington certainly will have to be one of the teams that has to take a hard look at Roy Oswalt, because after August they probably won't have Steven Strasburg.
You know what? That's funny about Strasburg. I talked about this yesterday. Washington is now playing a little fast and loose right now, Roger, on the Strasburg thing. They are saying that 160 innings is not a hard and fast thing, that they have their own plan in mind, but they're not revealing what that plan is.
Sure, we'll find out. Depending on how many games over 500 they are.
Well, exactly. Suddenly, if they're in the thick of the mix, suddenly maybe we can squeeze 20 more out of them. Yeah. I mean, I would.
All right, guys.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show and WKOK after this. Roger mentioned what the Nationals have done offensively this year. Bryce Harper, such a big plus. He had 3 hits last night, and Ian Desmond belted a walk-off 2-run homer. They beat Arizona 4-3, so they're 15-9. Now, the Phillies get back to 500 today at 13-13. That means the Phillies are only, at this point, 3 games off the pace. They're 4 back in the loss column, but that's how close they are right now. They're 3 games off the pace. But tomorrow night, the two teams go head-to-head at Nationals Park, and yes, Steven Strasburg starts tomorrow night for Washington. The Nationals are 28th right now in runs scored. This is why they needed Harper. 28th in runs scored, 27th in batting average, 20th in on-base percentage, 29th in slugging percentage, but where they compensate for it is pitching. I mean, teams are only hitting .216 against them, second. Quality starts. I mean, they've had 24 games, 18 of the 24 have been quality starts. Team ERA 2.47. So Kyle Kendrick and Steven Strasburg tomorrow night at Nationals Park.
But they are impressive at Nationals Park at 9-3 this year.
Yes, they've done very well at home.
And Philadelphia 8-8 on the road.
Which is good. That's a very good road record. Phillies have a very good road record. But they're three games back now. And they're 500 at home, 5-5. They're 8-8 in the road. But the irony is, we've talked about how the Phillies' offense has struggled. The Phillies have actually scored 17 more runs than the Nationals.
Is that before the last night's game?
This is up to date.
Okay, that's including
17 more runs. And meanwhile, you know what the difference is that the Phillies have given up 27 more runs than the Nationals. The Nationals have given up just 68 runs this year. I mean, that's it. They've given up 68 runs. The only team close to them at this point is St. Louis. St. Louis has given up 78 runs. But St. Louis is also an offensive juggernaut. They're second to Texas in runs scored.
Albert who?
Albert and the Angels are seven games back.
They're dead last in the West, aren't they? Yeah, dead last in the West.
Yeah, they're seven games back.
Well, I knew Seattle was also seven games back, but they played, they're 10-15, where Seattle's 11-16.
So when you look at Albert Pujols and what he's done so far, and look, I just feel like once he hits his first home run, he'll be fine. But so far, he has no home runs, five knocked in. He has eight doubles so far. He's 21 for 101 at 208.
But here's the problem. You said when he hits his first home run, you think he'll be all right. But it's May now. And if he goes through mid-May without one, it may be too late to be all right.
It might be. I mean, they're lucky they've had Howie Kendrick and Torrey Hunter bailed them out. Those two guys have been good enough and have helped them. But Albert struggling. But again, what happens, and it's been the pattern in his career, and I saw this in the 2004 World Series right in front of me. When either the team or Albert are in a little bit of trouble, he dramatically expands his strike zone, and when he does, he starts chasing. Well, Joe Blanton made them chase today. Three hits, shutout. And after everybody in the bullpen was used last night and they were desperate for somebody to give them a complete game, he not only gave them a complete game, he gave them a gem. On to Washington, Kendrick, Strasburg tomorrow night. We're on to tomorrow's show with Dick Girardi from the Kentucky Derby. Thanks to Rick Weibel, REW Financial for sponsoring today's show, and Sunbury Motors.